This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
And across to Van Riemsdyk, chipped by Ovechkin, low here to Dubois. And Van Riemsdyk gets the shot through, rebound, he scores! Alex Ovechkin on the rebound! Ershin went down! It's 8-88 for the Great 8 with 5:35 to go in the first. It's 1-0 Washington!
John Walton on the call last night on Caps Radio. He is within six of tying the great one, seven goals away from Gretzky's all-time mark. Right now, the pace will put him at home to break the record. I'll tell you when and what time coming up here in a moment. Good morning, everybody. 1 hour again today before we get you to the NCAA tournament pregame show and then all of the action all day and all night. We've got Maryland here at 4:35 today. Pregame show at 4 with Johnny and Naki out in Seattle as the Terps open up with Grand Canyon University. Maryland's a 10-point favorite, but man, Kevin Willard yesterday, if you haven't heard what he said about his athletic director and the speculation about him leaving to take the Villanova job. Next segment with my thoughts on what's going on out at Maryland. Not great timing for all of this with a game today, but the future of the athletic department and the head basketball coach are in doubt as the Terps begin play in the tournament. As a four seed, with a team good enough to make some serious noise. We'll see if the shenanigans surrounding Willard and the AD become a distraction or not later on today. Alex Ovechkin got the first goal of the game, as you heard John Walton call, 14-plus minutes into the first period last night against the Flyers, a game that the Caps won. Man, they are a good hockey team. I don't know how it will play out in the postseason. I can tell you the odds for some reason don't reflect that the Caps have the best record in hockey in terms of Stanley Cup odds. But right now, with 888 goals, six away from tying Wayne Gretzky, seven away from breaking Gretzky on his current pace, which is about 0.66 goals per game, he's just over 10 games away from breaking the record. So 11 games from now would put that moment at home on April 13th against Columbus, a Sunday night game that is currently scheduled to start at 6 p.m., the day before, they are in Columbus for a nationally televised 12:30 afternoon game. But remember, Monumental's got the call on all of these games as well, even if they are nationally televised games. One more goal. I think Ted Leonsis told me when he was on with me a few weeks ago that the commissioner and Wayne Gretzky will start to travel with the team, with the Capitals, when he gets to within five of, I think he said, breaking the record, not tying the record. I think it's breaking the record. So two more goals would put him within five of breaking the record. So good for Ovechkin, good for the Caps. My God, I mean, the season they are having, totally unexpected. 100 points. That is 12 better than anybody in the Eastern Conference. Carolina's got 88 points, and then in the other division, Florida and Toronto each have 87. Out west, Winnipeg also having a surprising season. They've played one more game than the Capitals, but they are at 100 points as well. So the President's Trophy on the line here over the final 13 games for the Capitals. We know what that means. Virtually nothing. If anything, it's typically a hex on the team that has it. But the Caps right now are the absolute, you know, minus 30,000 to be the number one seed in the Eastern Conference. They really can't be caught. They can be mathematically, but probably won't be caught. They'll end up going into the NHL playoffs in mid-April, mid to late April, as the number one seed in the Eastern Conference. All right, we do have one tournament day in the books. And I got to tell you, man, that was a boring day of basketball. Now, if you're betting the tournament, it never gets really that boring. And I was betting the tournament yesterday. I'm really talking about the quality of basketball, the compellingness of the games. The smell test yesterday, Denton, 3-3. Started off well early with an easy Creighton winner and a Purdue winner. The one that frustrated me the most was Kansas, and I'll get to them in a little bit. But, you know, of the 16 games yesterday, 11 were decided by double digits. There were two games that were not really that competitive. They were 9-point differences. There was one 7-point finish. That was Kansas-Arkansas. That game actually was tight down the stretch. And really, there was one sort of last-second moment, and that was it, of the 16 games. And it came very late last night, where Michigan blew a big lead at halftime against UC San Diego, but held on to win the game. But UC San Diego had, at the very end, a 3-pointer to tie the game and force overtime. It was missed. Michigan rebounded it. They held on to win 68-65. The big shot in that game was Trey Donaldson. Once again, man, he had the big game winner against the Terps on Saturday in the Big Ten tournament. Michigan finally gave up the lead with about 2:15 left, and Donaldson came down and buried a three. Michigan took the lead. They didn't give it up. They won 68-65. That was the only game, Denton. Like the Clemson-McNeese State game, the final score was 69-67, and it was pretty wild to watch Clemson work their way back into it. They were down by 22 points with 7 minutes to go in the game, and they ended up losing by two. Now, the two-point margin, it was a layup at the buzzer. They were down four, so there was no real dramatic ending in that game. They had chances. You know, they had that. They were down 12 with about 40 seconds to go and got it to four, got it to three pretty quickly, and had some chances. But really, I thought a dreadful day of basketball in the NCAA tournament. There were no real buzzer beaters. There was no, you had three, you know, seeded upsets. I mean, a lot of people liked McNeese's chances against Clemson to begin with. A lot of people loved Drake going into that game, the 11-6 game against Missouri, and then Creighton over Louisville, the game that kicked off the day. First of all, I mean, just totally unfair. Louisville had a home court advantage in that game. That was ridiculous. Creighton played great, man. Creighton is so well coached. I mean, Doug McDermott can just flat out coach, and they just always have shooters. They went on a stretch in the first half where the game was tight, where they made 4 threes in a minute six. And just totally took the game over. But not a lot of drama. And I'll tell you, I didn't look this up. And maybe you have read something about it, Denton, or maybe some of you have read something about it. Years ago, and I want to say 15 years ago, maybe as recently as 10 years ago, they would roll out new basketballs, brand new basketballs, for each of these tournament games. In fact, the basketballs were not the typical balls that the teams had even used, but they were not broken-in basketballs. They were not, you know, easy-to-handle basketballs. Anybody that's ever played basketball understands the difference in feel of a basketball that's worn in versus one that is brand new. And coaches complained about it. They said, why would we introduce brand-new basketballs for the most important games of the season where we're having difficulty handling the ball and shooting the ball? So I thought that they had moved away from that and had gone to basketballs that were more worn in and more similar to the balls used during the regular season and during the conference tournaments. I'm telling you, watching the games yesterday, the ball handling was poor. The shooting at times wasn't great. And I'll take you to the Kansas-Arkansas game, man. That was really hard to watch from a Kansas standpoint in particular.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kansas only ended up with 16 turnovers in the game, Denton. It felt like 26 watching it. They had a stretch at the end of the game where they had a 3-point lead, and they turned the ball over on 6 of the next 8 possessions. They never got a shot off. Terrible passing, terrible ball handling. It looked honestly like they were, you know, handling a hot potato. Like, it was not comfortable. Now, they had a rough season. This Kansas was ranked number 1 to start this season. They ended up being a 7 seed, and they are out in the first round. And I gave them out yesterday as a smell test pick because anybody that watched them this year saw that they were not a good team, and people were wondering, how could they be favored by five? And that's why I gave them out as a favorite over an Arkansas team that had been playing much better basketball and had started terribly in the SEC 0-5 and worked their way back to an NCAA tournament berth in Calipari's first year. Now they have an actual win. God, is Kansas terrible. And Hunter Dickinson was horrendous in this game. I mean, he threw two passes down the stretch, almost looked like he was throwing the game. He threw it right to the other team. Right to the other team. That was a terrible ending of a basketball game to watch. Even though the score was tight, the score was actually tight down the stretch. Kansas had come back. They had taken a three-point lead. I was thinking I actually had a chance, but I'll tell you, watching that, we were texting back and forth during this game. I don't know how you felt, but even when Kansas took a three-point lead, I'm like, God, they suck. They can't possibly hold on to this lead, which means they're not going to cover. I mean, I was, you know, hoping that Arkansas would throw up all over themselves down the stretch. What a bad basketball team Kansas was. Right?
All that money for Hunter Dickinson and nothing. Like, aren't you so glad that Maryland didn't spend all that money for him? The guy that tried to be a pseudo-villain last year, which did not work, and they got crushed in the NCAA tournament, only to then come and get, not crushed, but get embarrassed by Arkansas Calipari in his first year after being ranked preseason number one.
What did he end up getting? $2 million a year for 2 years?
I think it was $2 million a year, and he has zero NCAA tournament wins to show for. Or he has one. They got one last year, and then they got whooped by Gonzaga.
Yeah, they got crushed by Gonzaga in the second round. They're a bad basketball team. I mean, I understand that they are, you know, have 20-something wins. Or Kansas. I mean, he did a bad job in the portal. Some of those players can't play, period. But Dickinson was as much of the problem last night as anybody else. He got crushed on the glass. He missed every inside look he had. He knocked down a three early. He turned it over four times. I mean, I looked at the stats this morning, and I was fully expecting to see like 20-plus turnovers in the game. It was 16, but man, so many of them came down the stretch. So that was, I didn't think, very good basketball. Of the games that I intently watched, and I sat and watched a lot of basketball, let me mention, I've already talked about Creighton. Let me just mention Purdue and High Point, because High Point, you know, certainly had some chances in this game. Purdue is not playing well. They get McNeese State next, right? It's McNeese that they play. So they may get to the Sweet 16, because, you know, we see this all the time, right? You know, a 12 over a 5, and then, you know, the emotion of that win. And by the way, they were hanging on for dear life at the end. But Purdue, Trey Kaufman Wren, overrated, in my opinion. And then Braden Smith was, I believe, a first-team All-American, and he was the Big Ten Player of the Year this year. And I do like Braden Smith. I think he's a really good player. He's still got a year left, too. He's only a junior. But his shooting in recent games has been so bad. You watch a lot of college hoops, too. You know how good Braden Smith has been. He's been their starting point guard since he was a freshman. They were in the NCAA tournament final last year against UConn. He was 6 of 19 yesterday. He was 5 of 18 in their quarterfinal loss to Michigan in the Big Ten tournament. He was 3 for 10 in their second round Big Ten tournament game against USC. So that makes him 14 of 47 in his last three games. You got to shoot it better than that when you're the Big Ten Player of the Year. You know, that you're playing USC, you're playing High Point. I know Michigan is tougher, but if they don't get better offensive play from Braden Smith, they could go out in the second round. So I watched them because I had them. They did cover. I'll tell you, man, Wisconsin's so hard to guard. John Tonje, is he a first-round pick? I haven't looked at Every time we look at mocks, we're looking at Derek Queen. And we've looked at Danny Wolf. Is Tanjay a first-round pick? He should be, right?
I will take your word. I don't care about NBA mock drafts at this point.
Yeah, that's fair. But I'm just curious as to whether or not he's being viewed as a first-round pick. He's a really good player. He shot 1-for-14 in the Big Ten title game. God. What else was interesting to me? VCU, BYU can just flat out score. They have so many options. And that big point guard that they have, I haven't watched a lot of BYU, but that freshman point guard who's tall and lanky, I think he's Russian, he can really play. Yeah, that was kind of it. UCLA looked impressive. Gonzaga really looked impressive. You know, they're a team that can just flat out score no matter who they have. You know, this was not a great, great year for Gonzaga. They were 25-8, but they did not win their regular season title, even though they won the tournament. But they led Georgia, I think, early in that game, 21-3, I think it was. I think it was 13-0, and it got to like 20. No, it was more than that. It was 27-3, Gonzaga. With 11:43 to go in the first half. That's crazy. The other team that couldn't score yesterday was Clemson in the first half. I mean, they were stuck on 8 with like 4 minutes to go in the first half. I don't know. It could have been the basketballs. Could have been the basketballs. If they went back to like brand new basketballs that hadn't been broken in, how stupid is that? So today we get 16 games. What's the game? Give me your quick impressions of day one.
It was kind of boring. It was kind of lousy. Like, there weren't really a lot of super, super good games. I mean, I loved watching Creighton beat Louisville because I have a suspicion, Kevin, if you allow me to put my tinfoil hat on. The committee got UNC in as a distraction point to give Louisville a home game because in any other year without the UNC drama, the thing they're getting crucified the most for is giving an 8 seed a home game on the same side of the bracket as the number one overall seed. You just would never do that. So I love that Louisville could not do anything against Creighton. But like, I thought Kansas and Arkansas was fun until Kansas started to be Kansas. They, for whatever reason, they are scared of the final 4 minutes of the game. It was in this one, but it just, that seems to be the common thread throughout their entire season this year. They just can't close games out. And then, man, Missouri just can't score. Yeah, the SEC got a bunch of its teams through, but like Georgia, who I'd watched 0 times this year, getting demolished by Gonzaga made sense. But Missouri against Drake, I thought that was going to be the one that, because everybody is riding with Drake, that Missouri was going to come and crush them, and they could not get the ball in the basket. It was actually kind of embarrassing down the stretch.
What was the SEC's record yesterday? Pretty good, right?
It was pretty good. They only lost Missouri and Georgia.
And then Texas on Wednesday night.
Yeah,
but so they've got 11 teams left.
Yeah, everyone else took care of business. We'll see how that goes today, though.
Big Ten was 4-0 yesterday.
Perfect.
With Purdue, Wisconsin, UCLA, and Michigan winning. And they've got 4 more to go. The ACC, Louisville, Clemson, done. That leaves Duke and Carolina, right? That's it.
Yeah, Duke and Carolina. I can't imagine that the SEC loses many teams today. Maybe Oklahoma that has UConn, but like all the other SEC, like Kentucky and Troy, Florida and Norfolk State, Ole Miss and UNC. UNC could take down Ole Miss, but like Alabama's not losing to Robert Morris. That's just not happening.
Nah, although Alabama can't guard anybody. That line's interesting. All right, I got smell test picks. I've got thoughts on the Maryland situation. You'll hear what Kevin Willard said next.